2 Chronicles chapter 25. You know, we in Sunday school, we've been just moving into lessons on the time of Solomon's reign. After Solomon's reign, the kingdom was divided. And then for years, I can't remember, seems like Brother Bowman even said in one of the classes, but for many, many years, the kingdom was divided, and one king after another. And when you look at the list, almost every one of them was evil and wicked. Some of them extremely vile and wicked in the way that they conducted themselves as the king of Israel or the king of Judah. And all of these stories related to these kings, even the kings of the divided kingdom, all of them are in the Word of God for the purpose of teaching us lessons for us, examples for us to see, to learn some lessons about how we are to live and how we are to conduct ourselves and what is pleasing to the Lord. This king that is described in 2 Chronicles chapter 25 is also categorized as a bad king. And when I looked up they are categorized as good, bad, and very bad in one place that I look. Just the couple of verses to start with here tonight in 2 Chronicles 25. His name was Amaziah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. He did what was right, but he never had a perfect heart toward God. Of course, he's being compared to David, because David, even though he made big blunders and had great failures in his life, David was a man after God's heart. David had a heart after the Lord. But this was a man who really had, he did what was right, but he didn't have a right heart. Now, how does that happen? How is it possible that you could do some things that are right, but not have a right heart? Well, that's what happened in the life of Amaziah. We're going to look at it here for just a few minutes here tonight. And really, my whole purpose, my whole intention in looking at this topic here tonight is for us to do an examination of our own lives and to be reminded that everything flows out of our heart relationship with God. Amen. You can do the right thing and not have a right heart. And if you don't have a right heart, then it's just going to be actions that you're doing, and there's going to be a breakdown eventually, just as there was in the life of Amaziah. When you take notice of his life and the things that happened in his life, just look at a few verses here with me in this chapter, that Amaziah, one of the first things that he did was as he began to go up against the enemies of the people of Israel, the people of God, and it says that when the kingdom was established to him, he slew his servants and had killed the king of his father. This was a common thing to happen, and as gruesome, as awful as it may sound, this was a typical thing that happened when a new king stepped on the scene. It says in verse 4, but he slew not their children, but did as it was written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not die for their children, neither shall the children die for their fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. There's a principle that's laid down there in that passage of Scripture that's related to the to his obedience to the law, and that is every man is responsible before God for his own deeds. Everyone is responsible. One day we'll stand before God and we'll give an account of the deeds of our life, and it will not be, oh, my mom lived a good life, my dad lived a good life, or some of my other family members did what was right. None of that's going to make any difference. The real issue is, where did you stand with the Lord? So in looking at Amaziah here, he made a right decision in following the law of God. So he did some right things, but then he began to make some big mistakes. It's possible to do the right thing, but not have the heart and the relationship with God that we are all that we all should have with the Lord. And so he began to make some bad moves, some bad decisions. He's going to move out into war and into battle. And the first big mistake that he made was he didn't trust God to give him victories. He was fighting the right enemy. He was going justly into this war, but he just didn't trust God. He decided to trust in his own, you know, abilities, in his own ideas and plans for this battle. And it says that he gathered Judah together and made captains over the thousands and built up his own army of all those from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war, that could handle the spear and the sword. And so he was given, right within his own camp, a capable fighting army to go up against his enemies. But instead, it says in verse 6 that he hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. And so he went beyond what God had provided for him, and he decided to hire mercenaries and bring them in to help fight the battle. And so it was a symptom of the fact that he didn't trust God. He didn't trust God, and so he decided he was going to have to do it his own way and by his own devices and his own plans. Oh, what an important lesson that is for every one of us. Amen. As Christians, we need to learn how to trust God. We need to learn how to put our hope and our confidence in the Lord and trust Him. And you may feel like you're outnumbered, and no doubt He thought that He was, but He wasn't if He would have just kept His trust in the Lord. The Lord sent to him a man of God, a prophet, to speak to him, to warn him. And the prophet came and said to him, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for battle, God shall make thee fall. Excuse me. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. And so he was warning him, don't go up to battle and take these hired fighters with you. Don't trust in the arm of the flesh. You can look down through the history of a lot of the kings, even Solomon, put his trust in his own strength, put his trust in horses and chariots and fighting machines and his own armies. And the warning was, don't trust in the Lord. Now, where did this bad decision come from? It came from the fact that he did not have a heart that was right with God. He didn't have a heart that was completely committed to the Lord. If he did, then he would have made better decisions, right decisions to do what was pleasing to the Lord. I might need a little water. Somebody could, Seth, if you wouldn't mind stepping out there and getting me some. Amen. It is easy to make the wrong decision when you do not have a heart that's right with God. If you've separated yourself from your walk with the Lord and your relationship with the Lord, you're going to find yourself making carnal and fleshly decisions. And that's what happened in the life of Amaziah. Now, when you go through this chapter, that pretty well just kind of puts in a little nutshell the life and the decisions of King Amaziah, you could see that one bad decision led to another bad decision. And actions that he took were actions that were not from, that didn't pour out of a heart that loved God, was committed to the Lord, but instead it was self-trust, it was fleshly and carnal things that he was, decisions that he was making. So then when he goes up to fight the battle, and he goes out against them, and he's able to, first of all, he says, okay, he agrees, and finally agrees to send the 100,000 mercenaries home. He sent them home mad. He must not have paid them, and just sent them home and didn't take care of paying them for coming to help him, and they went away angry. And later on, they became his enemies that attacked him because of the way that he ill-treated those people. And then it says that when he did go up against Ephraim, that he destroys 10,000 of them. And you can see that in verse 11 and 12 that he went on. Amaziah was strengthened. He goes up against them, and he defeats 10,000 of them. But then he takes another 10,000 of them and carries them away captive. And he brings them to the top of a rock, and he casts 10,000 of them off of the top of that rock. And the Bible says they were broken in pieces. Now that sounds really gruesome and horrible, what he did. And it was, and it was really a Roman practice. It was a pagan practice to brutalize and to kill the way that he killed. It was bloodthirsty. It was an inexcusable thing that he did against them. Thank you. And so you can see one decision after another by Amaziah was showing that he didn't have a heart that was right with God. Amen. I think we need to take warning that it's one thing to do the right thing, but we need to have a heart to do what's right. Amen. If we just do what is right, then really that's really a good description of legalism. You just do what is right, but you don't really have a heart to do the right thing. When you have a heart that's right with God, then you're going to want to please God, and you're going to want to do His will, and you're going to be putting your trust in the Lord. Amaziah instead made one mistake after another. And so he treated those people with such horrible brutality, and it really showed the dark side of Amaziah's heart that wasn't right with God. And then not only that, but he took the idols from enemy of Ephraim. He took their idols and brought them home, and he worshiped their gods. Now that doesn't make any sense at all. Usually whenever an enemy was destroyed, when they were serving false gods and were idol worshipers, they would destroy the idols. Sometimes they would grind them into powder. They would completely annihilate them and destroy those idols to defeat a nation that were idol worshipers. They would destroy all of their idols. But instead, he loads up all of their idols and brings them back to Jerusalem and begins to worship those gods. Those gods, they were not able to help the Ephraimites at all. But yet it shows the foolishness of his rejection of the true and the living God and his heart that was not right with the Lord. One decision after another that was. And so he took on the pagan ways and was cruel and abusive and committed these abominable things that were really pagan practices. Then he takes the gods of Ephraim and brings them back to Jerusalem and begins to worship their dead gods. This is a man that's making one bad move after another. And eventually, when you read down through the chapter, the prophets come to him again to warn him. He rejects their counsel and their wisdom. It says that Amaziah would not hear what they had to say. And little by little, he's moving further and further away, doing more and more wicked and foolish things until finally, at the end of his reign, he is murdered by his own people. It's a terrible and a sad story in the life of a man who had such potential, who started out doing things that were right. Now, my whole theme in talking about this tonight is that everything that we do, every decision we make, all that we're doing in our life, it all pours out, it all springs forth from our heart. And if your heart isn't right with the Lord, then from that, there are going to be things in your life that are going to produce carnality and wickedness and evil. But it's out of a pure heart, a heart that's committed, a heart that is not divided. It's completely dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the heart that's going to be able to do the right thing. Do you know that your own heart is not trustworthy? You can't even trust your own heart, your own judgment. That's why that you need, and that's why we believe that conversion, salvation, is more than just saying I believe upon the Lord. It's more than just a statement of what you believe. Salvation is a spiritual experience. It's not, it's not just, giving mental assent to what the Bible says, but it's also something that's supernatural that takes place in your life. Amen. You are changed. And the Lord does a work on you, and that work starts in your heart. Amen. Starts in your heart. You remember in Genesis chapter 6 that God looked upon the wickedness of the earth and saw that it was great, and that every imagination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. God is able to see beyond our actions and our lifestyle and what we're doing outwardly, and he looks very deep and knows the condition of our heart. And he saw that this earth was inhabited with people whose heart couldn't think about anything. Their heart was fixed on doing evil things. Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So as Christians, and I'm convinced most here in this service tonight are, so what does it mean to us? What lesson do we need to learn? Well, I believe there needs to be regular times that we come before the Lord and come before his presence, and we allow the Spirit of God to examine us. Because if you depend upon self-examination of your own life, then you're going to excuse yourself. Because the heart is wicked. It's desperately wicked. And you can't even know really the condition of your heart. That can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit. As you come in contact with the Holy Spirit and the Word of the Lord, that it reveals those areas of your life that are not pleasing to the Lord. So all of us, and really in the process of revival, one of the things that will take place is that we come honestly before the Lord and we present ourselves to Him, and we allow Him by His Spirit to examine our lives. And sometimes whenever you do that, then you see things, He reveals things in your life that you didn't even think about. You didn't even realize that those things were there, those thoughts were there, or those motives were there. And he examines your heart. He says here in Jeremiah, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I try the reins or the motives, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. It's God himself who can see your heart, see your needs. What we see are the outward actions of each other. And we make our determination as to whether or not a person is godly or not by what we see with our eyes or what we hear with our ears. That's the judgment that we make. But God goes a lot deeper than that. Amen. And he sees the heart. He sees mine and he sees yours. And he knows what really is going on in your mind and in your heart. And whenever you come into the presence of the Lord and you're really asking the Lord, Lord, I really want to be revived. I want to draw closer to you. And you enter into the presence of God and you spend time in the word of the Lord, then suddenly there are things that are revealed to you by the Spirit of God that are convicting. And you realize there's areas of your life that now are coming under the scrutiny of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is revealing those things in your life. That's not a bad thing. That's a wonderful thing. That God can see deep into your heart. He sees your motives. He sees deep into your life and what causes you to do what you're doing. And he can examine you and reveal those wicked ways in you so that you can confess those and repent of them. And the only reason that God brings conviction to your life is because he's a God of hope who will forgive you. Amen. He's not the God of condemnation. That's the God of this world who will condemn you and say there's no hope for you. You can't find forgiveness. There's no mercy for you. But the God that we serve is a God who convicts us, not to condemn us, but he convicts us to say, here's the problem. Here's the evil thing that is in your life. But I have provided mercy for you and forgiveness. And I can restore you and I can put you back in a right relationship with me if you'll be honest before the Lord. Most of you, if you're like me, you've had a lot of times in church services or maybe just in your personal time with the Lord, just studying the Word of God or in prayer, and the Lord would begin to deal with you about some thing in your life, some area of your life, and begin to reveal those areas. That's God dealing with your heart. And if the heart isn't dealt with in those areas, even as small as they might be, if you don't allow him to work on you and to reveal those areas of your heart, if they go unchecked, then they're going to lead to big, big decisions that will spring out of your heart just like Amaziah made. Amen. The heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. It's morally sick. You can't do anything about the problem of your heart. That's why you need to come on a regular basis before the Lord and before his word and in his presence and allow him to reveal those wicked ways in you. Amen. So that you can allow him to purge you and to cleanse you. Amen. And he'll do that. Praise the Lord. He'll do that in your life if you'll be honest before the Lord. I don't believe in shaking the preacher's hand. I don't believe in just making a mental agreement and saying, I'm a Christian now just because I can say it. I understand the importance of your profession of faith. I'm not minimizing that. But I also believe that we need to understand that the Bible teaches that there is a supernatural work that takes place in your heart when you get saved. There is a supernatural work in your heart that takes place. Ezekiel talks about this. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, that ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what a conversion is all about. And sometimes when people get saved, it's different reactions. Sometimes It's the emotion that people come and they're grieved over their sin, so they go to an altar and they're weeping and crying over their sin, and there's a transformation that takes place. I've seen others come that what happens to them is they're getting relief from the conviction. They come to the altar and they're finally free from this burden of sin that they've been carrying, and so they just have such a joy. and a smile. They get up from the altar and there's a smile on their face because of what God has done in their heart. Amen. I've seen all different types of reactions to folks getting saved. Amen. Folks making that profession of faith. Sometimes it's with joy and rejoicing and shouting and praising God for what He has done. That's the kind of deep works of grace that God wants to do in the life of sinners and bring them to that place that there is an absolute heart change. Amen. If not, then you'll see the pattern in your life, just like was true in the life of Amaziah. He started off doing the right thing, but he didn't take care of the problem of his heart. His heart was divided. His heart wasn't right with the Lord. He was doing right because he had seen right. He had learned right. He knew things to do that were right. He even obeyed the law to a certain degree. He was doing some right things, but there came a time when his heart began to reveal itself. The Bible says that we are to keep our heart, guard our heart, garrison our heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it come the issues of life. Everything pours out of your heart relationship with God. Amen. Guard it, protect it, because out of your heart it's the reservoir. And out of your heart pours out all of those things that are deep in your heart. Amen. So guard your heart. Protect your heart. That whenever you speak, it will be words of life. So whenever you minister, it will be from your heart, the depth of your spirit, that God has done a work in your life. Amen. And everything then begins to be an outpouring of your relationship with God. Everything pours out of a heart that's right with God. If you want to have ministry to touch the lives of people, if you want to really have an impact upon people, get a pure heart. Allow Him to give you a clean heart. And out of that, will pour out to touch the lives of people in every area of your life. Serving, even giving. Remember the scripture there? Also, in Corinthians, it talks about that we're to give as we purpose in our hearts. Even our giving is something that pours out of our heart. We're not to give grudgingly. We're not to give because we're being compelled to or we feel pressured to give. We give because we have a heart to give. And that we have a love for God and a love for the work of God and the things of God. And so everything pours out of a heart that is right with God. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the kind of work of grace that we want to see. We want to see people come to the Lord. When you pray for your lost loved ones, I want them to make more than just this verbal commitment and that just says, yeah, I'm a Christian now. I'm going to serve the Lord now. I want to see a deep work of the Spirit take place in their heart, to where they're given a new heart, a fleshly heart, a heart that's been touched by the heart of God or the hand of God. And from that, then they begin to from that pour out the things of God, the blessing of the Lord. And all of those things pour out of their relationship with the Lord. Remember when Samuel came into the camp of Jesse, and he was looking for the king to be anointed, and all of those fine, tall, handsome young men came and lined up, and he looked over the group and said, he's not in this crowd. He's not here. Is there another one? Well, yes, there is. He's that lad, David, who's out there taking care of Jesse's sheep. He's young, he's ruddy, he's inexperienced, he's immature, but he had a heart for God, a heart for God. Bring him in. This is the one that's anointed. The Bible says that that God, man looks on the outward appearance, but God can look far beyond that. God looks into the depths of your heart. We see what's on the outward and we try to make a determination. Is their heart right with God? It's pretty hard to do in some cases. But the reality is this, that God even looks beyond that and he sees the heart. And then from out of your heart, you make all the decisions that you make about living for God and serving God and your ministry. And everything pours out of a heart that's right with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the ministry, God gives you a heart for God and a heart for people. Amen. A heart for God and a heart for people. And you have a compassion for people, a concern for the lost, a concern for the suffering, a concern for people in their need. And then you step out to serve and to minister, to bless the lives of people. But your heart has to be right with God. Amaziah did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. His heart was divided. His heart was divided. It wasn't committed. It wasn't completely sold out. And so his decision to do right, it only lasted a little while because he didn't have that inward compulsion that is there when we have a heart that's right before the Lord. Then we want to do the right thing and live in such a way that is pleasing to the Lord. My whole purpose for going through this here tonight is for us to take some time at the close of this service for a self-examination. Purpose to examine yourself, but to be reminded that as closely and carefully as you inspect your own heart, you're not going to be able to really see all those areas of your life. It's only going to be revealed by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, that will reveal those areas of your life that you won't see. As a matter of fact, we have a tendency to, when we judge ourselves, to see all of our good qualities. Our natural, response whenever we're, the Bible says, no man ever hated his own flesh. We don't hate our own flesh. We look at ourselves and we say, well, I'm a pretty good old guy. I'm a good person. And that's the way we judge ourselves. I'm a good person. Or you judge yourself based upon comparing yourself to other people and say, well, comparing to that person, I am a really good person. I may not be the best, but compared to that one, I'm pretty good. That's the way we judge ourselves. But I tell you what, it's an awesome and sometimes a fearful thing to stand in the presence of God as God begins to deal with you and he shows you those areas of your life that you didn't even think about, that you weren't even really aware of, but the seeds of evil and the seeds of carnality and sometimes the seeds of compromise have somehow been sown in your heart, and the enemy of your soul is trying to insert things into your heart, in your life, and the only thing that reveals that is the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. I can't tell you the times, many, many times, that I have been in church services, meetings, the preacher preached, the Spirit of God moved, and I felt like, even though I was a pastor and a preacher, I felt like I need to find an altar quick. I needed to find an altar and spend some time confessing some of the things that the Lord was revealing to me, that when I do a self-examination, I was never aware of it. But whenever I come under the scrutiny of the Holy Ghost and the Word of the Lord, that Word is like a sharp two-edged sword that digs deep and reveals those hidden areas of our life. Whenever we have that kind of an experience, and I pray that even tonight that the Lord is talking to you and to me about those areas of our life, and we'll allow him to deal with us. Amen. Show us those wicked ways. Show us those areas that we have allowed the enemy to sow the seeds in our heart. We didn't even realize they were there, but the Spirit of God was revealing to us those areas of our life that are not pleasing to God. Amen.